05-25-1940 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the sale of public land on the public surplus website in conformance with Wrangell Municipal Code Chapter 16.12, specifically lots 2 through 22, excluding Lot 10, Shoemaker Bay Subdivision 2, Phase 2, Wrangell Recording District, and repealing Resolution Number 04-25-1937.
Move to approve Resolution Number 05-25-1940.
Second.
Okay, motion by Robbins, second by Mock. Administrative report, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this item relates to the resolution for sale for the Aldertop lots, lots 1 through 22. And so this is a reappraisal. We received the last appraisal over the 12-month threshold ago, and that was caught by Assemblymember Mock, as Dooley pointed that out last meeting. So we got it reappraised. Average increase in the appraisal ranged from $3,000 to $5,900. And an average increase across all lots, the 22 lots, $4,195. There's actually two that are not included in that for other reasons. So that's one of the biggest changes to highlight. The other thing is we've extended the public auction to October 31st. It'll kick off on July 1st and then go to October 31st. That is an effort to align our substantial completion of the construction project that will be hopefully awarded tonight. Those are the two big changes.
Thank you. Any comments, questions, Assemblymember Dalrymple?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I kind of mentioned it earlier in the assembly session, but I'd be interested if the assembly has any thoughts on whether we should do full-on financing opportunity for any bidder, or we should perhaps limit it to residents for the financial. And I don't know, I could see it both ways, and I'm not sure. I was talking with the city manager and whether there's any legal issues with trying to restrict that or not, but it's really the only thing in my mind here. It's a question, otherwise I'd fully support moving on this.
All right, and this motion is to authorize the public sale, but you're talking about financing, correct?
It's in the terms.
Right.
Through the chair, Assemblymember Dalrymple, I think a prudent approach might be we'll get a legal opinion on it, and I can bring it back to the council on the May 27th meeting for discussion under assembly business. Does that sound like an appropriate pathway?
Yeah.
I agree with it. I think it's a good opportunity to.
Just a question made in my mind.
Yeah.
Good question. Any other comment? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
No. Assembly members, DeBoer.
Oh, or not. Guess not, maybe.
Did you have a comment? It's kind of out of order.
Yeah.
Well, so you made it unclear if there was an opportunity for public comment on this or if it was just council comment.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm going to allow it. Is there any objection from the assembly before we take the vote? No, she didn't sign up for persons to be heard, but I'd like to have leeway. Go ahead, Brooke.
Okay.
Go ahead and state your name for the listening audience.
Sure. My name is Brooke Leslie. Thank you. I live in the Shoemaker area, and I just have a couple of comments for consideration for the council before you vote on this resolution. For context, last March I was fortunate enough to be able to facilitate a housing summit for the community of Sitka, held in conjunction with the Sitka tribe and BHA there. We convened people from all sorts of areas of housing over the state of Alaska, from USDA, Rural CAP, SDA, BHA, people from Juneau, and the community land trusts. We conducted a three-day summit to allow that community to come up with their own solutions to the housing crisis that is not unique to Wrangell, but is experienced throughout all of Southeast Alaska, including the inaffordability of housing. Some things that were cited were people that were born and raised in Sitka could not find a place to live in Sitka, and after they went to school or went to get their trade, they could not return home because there was no housing that was available within a budget that they could sustain. And so there was a large out-migration because of that. And then Airbnbs was another really big topic at that summit. And then these concepts of homes kind of going, or properties going somewhat under the radar, or to people that are using them for secondary homes. So this is not their primary residence, but rather like it's their summer home. And so I did think that when I first, and I've been following this for a while since I was on the Economic Development Council, Council Committee, something like that, and with Mr. Dalrymple there. And so I see that it's changed from a lottery, and I understand what it is that you're trying to do with the bidding process, but I also understand that the bidding process that happened down in the Wrangell shipyard also did not work out very well in the long term. And there was a lot of complications with that, which I'm not sure if the port commission ever ended up resolving, because they were going to and then COVID happened. But some things for consideration is that there are really successful models of affordable homes happening in Juneau and Sitka through the community land trusts. And I am wondering if the city of Wrangell has considered taking the approach of a community land trust, where basically you would have an entity or an entity formed, or maybe the city would like to do this, where they would be the land owner, and there's like a 99-year lease is what I believe is the familiarity of the length of the lease of the land. The homes then are all like kind of generally one type of model of home with some customizations that can be done, and then they're sold at fair market value. It brings down the cost of the real estate quite a bit, so it makes the homes more affordable for people that are wanting to move and live there. That's just one model. I think my biggest concern with your resolution as written is that there's just no restrictions on bidders about this being, whether or not they're Alaskan residents, whether or not this is their second home, third home, summer home, whether this house will be, I imagine it's, can it be rented out for Airbnb? I guess I haven't followed super closely what your rental and commercial regulations are and policies are here in Wrangell. But I think that in theory, what you're trying to achieve makes sense, but I'm concerned that what will happen is that you're gonna see people that are not long-term residents of Wrangell, that are not living in the community of Wrangell, or that are not like part of what makes the fabric of Wrangell, Wrangell. We attract a very certain and unique type of individual. And so I think that you might see, when you put this on a public surplus page, people purchasing this land, it going up at an inflating cost quite high, and then our local residents who are wanting to build homes and purchase homes will be outbid. They're gonna be blocked out simply because they are not millionaires. That's something that I see in your restrictions that is missing. I think, you know, at the end of the day, I think we have very limited real estate for homes. I think we are facing a housing crisis. I think we are facing an inflated housing market with the building of these homes. It's going to likely increase property values, especially in the Shoemaker Bay area again. And so I just challenge the assembly, when you are taking a vote on this resolution, to consider who this is serving in the long run, what residents, what citizens, and how it benefits our community. Because we really need to be resolving our local housing crisis and our regional housing crisis. And so I appreciate the effort put into this resolution, but I also challenge you to consider my comments.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You brought up some very good points, Brooke. Thank you. Thank you. And we'll take those into consideration. And Assemblymember Dalrymple mentioned some of that. So, all right. Any other assembly comments? Poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. All right. Under new business, assembly, turn to page 389. We're going to tackle 13U. And let me read that. Page 389. Discussion and possible action or direction on the waterfront master plan. And basically, as assembly, I'd like to give direction to Borough Manager Villarma on how to proceed. And there's some good suggestions. Let's have discussion.
Yeah, there's no
first. There's no motion indicated, but it's
discussion and possible direction.
Direction, yeah. And we can give that verbally.
And I think you've had people that wanted to speak on this.
We have. Charity that's wants to speak. Let's have Charity come up forward and speak on this.
Okay.
Basically, we have ideas on discussion and direction. I'll read them to you, Charity. Potential infill of the waterfront area located between the Nolan Center and the barge ramp, adjacent to City Hall for future economic development purposes. Do we direct the borough manager to investigate the fill? Do we direct the borough manager to identify potential funding strategies for that? And then establishment of a phase sequence for implementing plan priorities, something akin to what we saw in the waterfront development plan. Right. What are your thoughts?
Sure. So yeah, I'm Charity Hommel again. And just so folks know, I do manage Arrowhead Transfer and Alaska Marine Lines here in Wrangell. So I do have thoughts on this, and I just wanted to open it up by saying that change is hard, and Wrangell. It's change is hard for Wrangell. But just to give my thoughts on this, I've a little background too. I've been here for almost 30 years now. I've had three lives. I grew up commercial fishing with my dad in Washington State, came to Southeast Alaska. Then I found my husband here in Wrangell. I raised my family here. My two children graduated from here. I'm very proud of them. And then I started my own just little career that I've got going on right now. And it's been absolutely rewarding and fun. But we have had some struggles here in Wrangell. And you know, I'm a homeowner, I was a business owner, my husband, and I owned Northern Lights Taxi for 11 years here. That was really rewarding, but we needed a change there as well. So anyway, with this, I just want to say, first of all, I'm not opposed to tourism. I was a tour operator in Juneau for 3 years, back in the early 90s. I'm going to date myself a little bit. I do see a lot of potential that we can harness here, especially in the destination tourism area. You know, I'd love to see that kind of tourism coming to Wrangell. I am concerned about the prospect of leasing for so long to a single entity. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Basically, what I want to do is make sure that the public understands that these are pretty big decisions, you know, for our community. And you know, say 40 years, I might not be here in 40 years. So I just want to make sure that that the community thinks hard about you know, what they would like to see. And we've been doing that for years. I went to a lot of these meetings that are in that timeline already. One thing I did want to point out was this waterfront master plan was created back in 2015. It's 2025 now, and that's 10 years. In 10 years, some of our, you know, precious folks are gone now, the ones that were there making those decisions. And then our children have grown since. And so we have adult children coming in to participate in our community. And they didn't have a say in the original waterfront plan that was proposed. So anyway, just want to make sure that our public is aware and start coming to meetings and paying attention and giving their input. I did want to just put out there that I do want to speak on what Sylvia had mentioned previous about how there are a lot of ideas of where maybe the barge facility should be, you know, placed and whatnot. There are a lot of logistics that go into the movement of our freight here in town. And so I just want to make sure that y'all know that I'm available for you, for anybody. The public can come speak with me about how operations work here in Wrangell. Can speak to Nate on the Samson side about how their operations work. But there are a lot of things that maybe the regular person doesn't understand, or the impact that might take place if we were to be staged 6 miles out. There are impacts there. There's impacts anywhere, basically. We're seeing an impact right now. The barge ramp did get decommissioned, but we did have an alternative area to unload and load, and that's fantastic. It looks like this might be our our new reality for quite some time. And that's okay, and we're gonna make it work. But yeah, there are impacts that the community will most likely see, you know, after a length of time. So anyway, I just wanted to speak on that. I did want to say that I have been keeping up with American Cruise Lines petitioning and in Petersburg there. I did watch in and listen to their May 5th city council meeting as well. The city, the people of Petersburg have some of the same concerns that the people of Wrangell that I've been speaking with have. So it's very interesting. I'm really interested in going to this next workshop with ACL. I just want to make sure that y'all know that I'm around and we do have information that we could share. But let's just say hypothetically that the barge company does start or is positioned at a 6 mile property, that there will be a lot more trucking involved, and the other thing that we should think about is how that product gets in and out of downtown. So it's only pretty much right now one way to get in and out from downtown, which is Odison's Hill there. And then the other aspect of that is when Trident is running, there will be a lot more trucking, and that trucking would be going out to the 6 mile property, let's say, if we were out there. I don't believe we would have the main line coming in to the mill dock if a barge landing was established out the road. Anyway, those are just my thoughts on that one right there. So anyway, let me see if I have any other notes on that. But pretty much, I know that we're in the infant stages of this, and so just know that I'll be going to the meetings and paying attention and letting my young people know what's going on and making sure people are aware of these big decisions and that there's lots of options.
Correct.
As well. We're not tied into everything, but there are a lot of options coming up.
Right, and you don't object to us exploring all options?
Well, of course not. Like, okay. I've been here for 30 years, and change is hard. We do want, I love hearing, it's amazing, meetings that I go to and people that I speak with, ideas that come up, and I think, I hadn't thought of that, you know. But there is a lot of opportunity, and I think a lot of opportunity for working together to bring the best opportunity to Wrangell, logistically, economically, carefully.
Thank you. And we do appreciate all the comments that we've heard tonight. It truly makes our job a little bit easier. But Assembly, I'm in favor of directing the borough manager to explore some options. What say the Assembly?
I'll keep my remarks rather brief, but I'd like to reference the structure that was pointed out in the presentation that talked about proposed next steps. I would like to debate that framework as our next steps, if possible. It's pretty well structured. I don't want my direction to be come up with possibilities. That's not narrow enough for me to actually get to work on, and Director Thomas and Director Aladad, we need a specific direction. That question is, do you want to pursue the fill of the waterfront at the next Assembly work session in the terms of bond financing or not?
In Assembly, that's listed for you, some suggestions on page 390. I stated those at the beginning of this topic. Assembly Member Mock?
Yeah, I'll get things started and answer the question. I think we should look into it. I think we should look at financing options.
Look into the fill option?
The fill,
okay.
Yep. Look into financing options, look at how it would fit into what potentially ACL would propose. I think that something we should consider, something mentioned in the 2015 master plan was in pretty much every option was that it was public voice that access from City Dock to the Nolan Center was very important to them. So I noticed in one of the comments on there that maybe that was put in later or left out, but I think that we should take that into real consideration. I think that would be well.
Any other direction for the borough manager? Assembly Member Dalrymple?
I concur.
Okay. Is that enough direction for you, borough manager?
Do you want direction on still pursuing with ACL and all that stuff? Is that what you're looking for?
No, I think that'll be remained to be seen after we have a presentation and do some further due diligence. Obviously, we're in support of the initial proposal, otherwise we wouldn't bring it forward. But at this point, if I have to go ahead to pursue ways to finance a waterfront fill option, that would be good enough for me. It would make no sense to put port infrastructure in and then not have the opportunity to fill out because we didn't look at a value engineering approach to greater economic development opportunities. So that's my main concern. That's enough.
Well, in your plans, it only shows a little fill. So to clarify, I'm looking at the whole fill.
the 3.4 acres?
Yes. Is that your take, your vote?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
For the public, 3.4 acres, which would be that entire section. Okay, Assemblymember Powell?
And then there's, we got a lot of new people in town that live here and don't understand this town, what it was built on. And we are all sitting on fill, and the Churchill Building is sitting on, was on pilings, and almost all Front Street was on pilings. So this 400 or 500 yards out of this town, when I was a kid, was water. So for the public, this is all fill, and to fill this out is not a big deal. I mean, we filled, the Nolan Center was filled, and that was a hole bigger than this hole. So it could be done, and just, I just want to let you know that we're all sitting on fill.
All right, is that enough direction? All right, moving along. Item 13A, Assembly, this should be on page 185. Ordinance number 1084 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, repealing and reenacting Title 18, Buildings and Construction, and all of chapters of Title 18 in its entirety in the Wrangell Municipal Code.
Move to approve ordinance number 1084.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. This is the item that Assemblymember Dalrymple has a lot of questions on, as probably we all do. So probably, Borough Manager, do you have any statement to make?
Yep.
And then we'll have Amber come forward.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. So this is a repeal and replace of our building code. Currently, we utilize the 1997 Uniform Building Code, and this is pivoting towards the 2021 International Residential Code, International Code Council that they developed. And so this is obviously quite some time from 1997 to 2021. There's a lot of implications of this. I'm going to cover high level this process, and Amber is the expert in this category. Well, she's shaking her head no, but she is. So by and large, repeal and replace of existing code, there's some benefits to that. I think as we go along and continue to operate on a code that's nearly 30 years old, there's going to be financing and insurance implications. There's something to be said about preserving good structures for future generations. I know that's been important to Assemblymember Powell over time. This is a starting point. We oftentimes go get direction on from the Borough Assembly, let's take the public safety building or the water treatment plant, 12-year process. We want to do this, okay, we come forward and okay, let's restudy it, let's come back, you know, 4 years later, we'll do something else. I want the Assembly's commitment that going forward with this building code is something we're going to do before we put in any more legwork. So one amendment I would propose tonight to this motion would be to adopt this to be effective at least until July 1st of 2026 and potentially beyond. What we'd like to do is a lot of upfront education. We'd also like to offer the opportunity for our team independently to evaluate exemptions under the 2021 Building Code. As Director Allardet has duly pointed out, there are many exemptions that should be thought of and considered in this building code that aren't currently in there. One example is the code requires, from a residential perspective, sprinkling homes. Well, it's very universally accepted that we don't require homes to be sprinklered. That is something that is often exempted in a municipal code format. So there's a lot of examples to point to that we need to delve into and come up with proper exemptions. But before we do all that work, we want a commitment from the Assembly. This is the direction that we want to head. This is the guidance that I've gotten since day one of being Borough Manager. So I'm very happy to, well, it's been a 3-year process, I think, for the mayor, but certainly something we're proud to bring to you guys. There's also, on top of the exemptions, a really big investment in terms of personnel, staffing, and enforcement, and the expectation is there's going to be some costs associated with enforcing this from the borough. We previously hired an additional staff member for part of that enforcement, as is the Capital Projects Code Enforcement Authority and jurisdiction. And so this is a commitment to enforcement of the existing code. There's also going to have to be a tiered structure for how we evaluate submitted and engineered plans. This is a big thing. Assemblymember Dalrymple brought it up in my office earlier. We will be requiring designed and engineered plans to be submitted to the borough for evaluation. If we're not evaluating stamp plans, then what are we evaluating? Oftentimes, we'll get a 8.5 by 11 of a scribbled paper that we're looking at and making decisions based off of. And when you look at what the standard is, and most of larger Alaska and the lower 48, we're looking at most counties and boroughs and cities are looking at a set of plans that they can actually make informed planning decisions around, and as well as implications to the building code to preserve the safety of the public and also to future generations' benefit. So a rate structure would be accompanying this down the line, commensurate to the type of structure being built. That rate would range from a complete new build of a home all the way to your hot tub gazebo and a deck replacement. There may be exemptions for types of remodel and rehab. That's something that could be considered, but we are seeking commitment and vicariously direction on this item, and I believe it's in the best interest of the borough to proceed with this. We can't continue to operate off a 1997 building code, especially with some of the development that we're going to see over the next year and beyond.
And it has been an item of contention for past assemblies. And so, Amber, would you entertain some questions?
I will try.
All right. And as I understand it, you want this to be effective July 1, 2026. You think it would be ready by then?
That was Mason's suggestion, but I would support that. There's a lot. This will be a new code for us. We really have struggled to understand which code we want to adopt. You know, for so long we've talked about updating our code, and you know, until you know the last few years, the IRC, the International Residential Code, 2018 was the more latest one that a lot of municipalities in Alaska had adopted. So, you know, my initial building official training that happened, you know, 15 years ago, you know, was on the basis of that upcoming code. And we bought the code books, and you know, even though we've got a UBC code from 1997 in place right now, when folks call me and they're like, hey, can you give me some guidance on whatever, which, you know, I'll give some guidance, but I don't design structures. I have had people ask me to design things for them, and that's not what we do as building officials, right? But we can give guidance, and that's what we're here to do. We're there to look at the structures that they or their contractors have constructed that should be according to a code and a design that has been developed by someone who understands those codes and is licensed by the state to design projects. But so there's a lot for us to do. We've recently decided to adopt the most recent code, which is the 2021. I don't know that code yet. You know, there's a lot of training and planning that needs to go forth from our department to get our staff trained up to understand the code and educate the public as to what they're looking at as far as new codes. Number one, to educate the public that building permits are required. Oftentimes I hear folks say, well, I didn't know a building permit was required in Wrangell. That's what I'm told by my friends, you know. So there's a lot of education just letting folks know that, and then to what code they'll be constructing to. Contractors need to be aware of the code that they'll be constructing to as well. So I think there's a lot of outreach and education that needs to happen in that regard as well. So yes, I like the idea of punting the formal date for effectiveness of this new code to give us time to do that. I guess my only question would be, how do we, if we do go ahead and adopt it for a future day, I want to make sure that it's really clear for us what code we're still, you know, evaluating. Are we still, you know, obviously if we're not doing it yet, we're still on the UBC 1997. Right. What does that look like in code? So just something to consider as we move forward and develop that for accepting something at a later date.
Okay, as you know, I've been hot on this and wanting to get it adopted. Obviously, I want it to be the best code it could be and very evident to the public on how to follow it. Would you, I'll probably let Assemblymember Dalrymple, can you ask some general questions? I can see that we could tonight.
Are we in a motion amendment or are we?
I got a motion. Yeah, I got a motion. So we're in discussion.
Yep.
For a proposed amendment?
Yep.
I'd like to amend or restate it in an amendment that we postpone this until next meeting so that we can have a full-on discussion about it. I support what it is. I'd like to get it going. But there are some questions in my mind, in the narrative. I think if the people took that literally, they would be quite upset. I mean, there's no thresholds here. It's like you do anything in your house, you have to have a stamp permit by an engineer.
Okay.
That's what the words say to me, and maybe I'm misinterpreting that.
All right, so you state your amendment.
I would like to postpone this item until next meeting.
May 27.
Yeah.
Okay, do I hear a second?
DeBoard seconded.
Second by DeBoard. Discussion. Okay, that means no more discussion on this item tonight if this passes. All right, poll vote on the amendment to postpone this to time certain, May 27, 2025.
Assemblymembers Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
No.
DeBoard?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
No. All right. Main motion as amended?
No, you don't do that. It was approved.
We did postpone, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Dang it. I wanted to move forward on this, but anyway, okay, I have to move forward. Item 13B, resolution number 05-25-1941 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY25 budget in the Municipal Light and Power Fund by transferring $70,000 from the fund reserve to the capital expenditures account and authorizing its expenditures for diesel generator number one engine rehabilitation project.
Move to approve resolution number 05-25-1941.
Second.
Okay, motion by Robbins, second by Powell. This is a good thing that they caught generator number one.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We'll be rather brief on this one. The next two items are linked together. This is a budget amendment accompanied by a change order to MSI equipment for shaft alignment issues that were noticed in Unit 1 as they were doing some of the rehab work on it. Again, we changed the power packs, the bearings, and additional work. They noticed that the shaft alignment was way out of spec. Instead of sending them south to come back, obviously we're not going to run a generator unit that far out of alignment. That would pose risk to the overall piece of equipment. And if we can't run it, then what's the point of having it? So we ended up kind of doing an emergency go-ahead approved by the vice mayor while the mayor was traveling. And the contract, I believe, was in the neighborhood of $480,000 initially with MSI. We had a budget of $520,000. The proposed budget amendment is $70,000, which will more than accommodate the change order that is subsequent to this item, which is $86,000.
Any discussion on this item? All right, poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13C, page 219, Assembly. Approval of change order number one to the contract with Marine Systems Incorporated in the amount of $86,203.64 for generator unit one engine rehab project.
Move to approve change order number one to the contract with Marine Systems Incorporated in an amount of $86,203.64 for generator unit number one, engine rehabilitation project.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. This is authorizing the payment of that bill.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yep, just authorizing the change order in the amount of $86,000. The scope is listed on page 261 of the packet.
Any questions, Assembly? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Odison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item D, page 225. Resolution number 05-25-1942 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2025 budget by increasing authorized expenditures in the Aldertop Village Subdivision Property Development Account in the Residential Construction Fund for Aldertop Village Subdivision Phase 1, the roadway and utilities project in the amount of $545,680.
Move to approve resolution number 05-25-1942.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. And administrative report, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this is the same as the last two pair of items. So this is a budget amendment that will accompany the contract award to Rock and Road Construction for phase two utility and road work for the Aldertop subdivision. There's a variety of different paths we can take from a funding approach. We are very late in the FY25 budget cycle. I've listed some of those funding approaches in the agenda statement that we'll take, but I'll explain a little bit more. Engineer's estimate was $1.9 million, bid in excess of that to the tune of about $2.3 million. There are some CA and CI activities that are going to have to be taken. So in total, there's about $2.4 million in change, $2.440 in work that needs to be performed in this phase. Now that's higher than expectations, but I'm here to explain that we do have the funding available in the Residential Construction Fund to accommodate this. Through the fiscal year, we had a balance of $818,000 as of yesterday in the Residential Construction Fund, but I will explain that further. So we have various land sales that are being brought to the Assembly. We have potentially the six lots at the hospital valued somewhere in the 330 range altogether. We have lot C of the WCA request. It's in the neighborhood of $583,000. Together, those are about a total of $900,000 in property sales that would, in my opinion, default to the Residential Construction Fund. That's up for debate by the Assembly, but there's $900,000. There's also the obligations of the Enterprise Funds, $148,000 of the activities listed in Phase 2 for Aldertop Subdivision work is related to WMLP. They are doing a lot of in-kind work as well, but that is not included in that overall figure. There's nearly $879,000 in sewer fund obligations to this, so there could be a transfer from both Light and Power and the sewer fund. And then also you have the Denali Commission grant we received for $300,000 that will be impactful in funding this project, and that will certainly be used in whatever funding mechanism or financing approach we take. And then last but not least, we obviously will have the sale proceeds from land divestiture to take towards this project. So, in an effort not to complicate matters, as we're developing FY26's budget, we're proposing using the proceeds in the Residential Construction Fund to move this project forward, and then we'll come up with a complete package for you guys' consideration during the FY26 budget development meeting.
Any comments or questions, Assembly? Assembly Member DeBoer.
Okay. I got quite a few issues with this. First, we're kind of spending money that we haven't even collected yet. Assembly Member Powell brought up when we tried to sell the six lots before, we almost accepted money and then that fell through. So that's one first issue. Second issue, you've known for a while, I want to get some playgrounds here. We're never going to be able to get them in the budget. So I was hoping to maybe take some money from one or both of those sales to start that. Third, we're looking at the 1.2 and the lots haven't sold initially. And three, the bigger issue, and I brought this up in the budget meeting or the work work session on this. We just had some pretty significant cost overruns on this entire project, and I just can't support that until we can back up and punt or figure something out. And fourth or fifth is, we only had one bid, and it's been a little apprehensive about going forward when we just had one bid. It's my two cents.
Thank you. Any other comments? And it was over 300,000 over our estimate, correct?
To clarify further, we do have the funds. The residential construction fund has $818,000. The contribution from the enterprise funds, as is appropriate, because they're investing in productive assets that will seek return in the form of rates paid by water, sewer, electric. And so we, between those obligations, the grant, and what's in the residential construction fund, we do have enough money, plus the land, potential land sales that could be an option if the assembly elected to. But due to all of those things in process and going into a new budget cycle, we found it prudent not to specify outside of the residential construction fund. If you do not approve this and the subsequent contract award, we will not move forward with the sale, and sales canceled is essentially the message. So up to you guys.
And we do have in-kind work with our electrical department. The electrical utilities will be underground. So we have, is Public Works helping with some of this?
They may be in varying degrees, but not in a material way to the overall project cost that's listed before you.
Assembly Member Dalrymple?
I share the same concerns, especially we've been going through this since COVID, but the cost overruns, it almost makes you not even want to start. But we're so committed to this project, I can't really imagine that we would just stop right now. I don't know what the next fallback would be. We've already sort of made a commitment that it would be developed with utilities.
Speak up so everybody can hear you.
You know, the plan was to, the overall plan was to have this road to utilities in it. And we've already gone down that path most of the way, except the utilities part. So I don't know what we would do otherwise. Would we require a thing where the homeowners have to get together collectively and install the utilities? I don't know what the options are except to continue. And I would like to see this done.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Assemblymember Mock?
Yeah, just to jump on that last comment. It's fairly common in larger municipalities for larger developments or newer homes to have a contribution to their hookup to the system, right? Water and sewer. For example, a townhouse is built in a large town. They have a sum of $10,000 for the, connection, and they are given choices of, I can pay that $10,000 now, or I can add it on to my monthly bill for the next 6 years. So something like that, I'm sure there's a name for it. I don't know what it is, but something like that might be considered as a way to relieve some of those stress of the funds.
Well, the property owner would have to hook up on their own dime to the utilities.
But they may not have to pay it up front in whole, right? That's potentially an option. But just jumping off of what
okay. Any other comments or questions? All right, poll vote please.
Assemblymembers Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
No.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item E, page 229, approval of a contract award to Rock and Road Construction Incorporated in the amount of $2,295,680 for the Aldertop Village Subdivision Phase 1 Roadway and Utilities Project.
Move to approve a contract award to Rock and Roll Construction Incorporated in an amount of $2,295,680 for the Overtop Village Subdivision Phase One Roadway and Utilities Project.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Addison. Discussion. This is approving the contract. Okay, poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
No.
Robbins?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Addison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13F, approval of FY 2026 Wrangell Public Schools budget and local funding contribution in the amount of $1,425,841.
Move to approve the FY 2026 Wrangell Public Schools budget and local funding contribution in the amount of $1,425,841.
Second.
Okay, motion by Robbins, second by Addison, and we have Superintendent Bill Burr, who'd like to speak to this.
And Christie is on the phone too.
Oh, and Christie, the finance director's on the phone also.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Would you make sure that mic is turned on?
It's on.
Great, thank you.
I don't believe Sandra is still on. She did drop off. So this is talking about the Wrangell Public Schools budget. Our budget is based on, as it has the last few years, been based on the maximum contribution that we can receive from the borough. The state has made inroads to make sure that that amount includes every part of that funding. And it, as I've discussed with the assembly, and thank you, Madam Mayor, and assembly members, I should have said that first, long night. So we have requested the maximum still. It's money that we need, it's not extra. I know the resolution is about $300,000 less than that maximum contribution, and we appreciate the thought process that goes with even reaching that number. We're in a precarious situation, both as education and I'm sure the borough. We're facing quite a bit at the federal level, as well as the borough is. It doesn't mean that the amount that is in this approval will fix everything. We do need the full amount. However, we did find that we could budget, and our budget that was taken to the assembly on May 1st recognizes that the amount might have been 1.4. I wish that we had more staff here. I think we do have President Wilson still here. I would have liked a nice turnout in recognition. We are facing a couple of other things. It was mentioned by Mason earlier that possibly a BSA increase will come out of base student allocation, possibly other money, and those possibilities are getting smaller and smaller. We have, as superintendents, met last week with the governor, who has mentioned that his policy, his written policies are more important, and that he will probably at least look at vetoing as it stands, whether that's going to be a different amount later on or not. As mentioned earlier with the current Senate bill, I believe it's 113, the internet tax, just so you're aware, I'm on the record, apparently I got brought up at a finance committee meeting a week or so ago. in opposition of that. However, that is also looking at being vetoed, and that money was going to be used for the Alaska Reads Act funding for schools, so we're kind of looking at both of those items at the state level. And last Friday, we got notification from the Federal Department of Education that they are looking at cutting migrant, or migratory as it's now called, migrant education in their next funding, which will be October of 2025. Although we would have funding for the next year, if that passes through Congress, that program would be eliminated. So, Wrangell, that is a big part of our federal grants. So we're really looking at some pretty austere circumstances as it happens. We understand that the borough is in tough shape in many areas, and we appreciate what you can give. We get accused by the legislators, myself included, that every time we're talking to them, we're asking for money. And we're kind of reduced to that's all we can do anymore. And I'll leave you with the comment that if ever our schools or our school districts stop asking for it, then don't fund anything, because we are always advocating for the best that we can do. Graduation is Friday, please come. I appreciate when we see borough assembly members coming to our events, the movies last night, the Sea Stories, definitely a call out, music programs, everything. We really do like to see you. And as a last comment, one of your later ordinances, 1085, the school district is in support, and Ms. Andrew would have stated that if she hadn't kind of run out of time. So the school district is in support of that, and we would counter that if it passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other testimony? All right.
Madam Mayor, I wasn't able to sign up because I was late. Does that mean I can't speak?
No, you can speak. Assembly, can I have permission to do that?
I'll bring the mic to you. Make it a little easier. Maybe. Oh my gosh. Goodness gracious.
Thank you. Dave Wilson, I'm at 2.6 miles on Moya Highway. I'd like to just speak. Express my gratitude that we're able to get funding from our local assembly, all the work that you do. But I, as Mr. Burr said, we'd be remiss, in fact, it'd be unconscionable for us not to ask for the maximum local contribution, because that's what we need to keep our schools going. Our budget is built right now at 1.4 million, but that is losing things. We won't be the same school district we are this year as we do that. So it's incumbent upon us to always ask for the maximum, because we're trying to continually grow, continually give it the best education we can. And as I sit here at a meeting, I mean, I'm going to be honest, I sit here at a meeting where I hear about cost overruns and I hear, let's fund this for something that we don't know may produce sales or whatever in the future for different lots. And yet we know that any money we put in the school system is producing future education in our children that is definitely has a comeback, definitely has a payback to our community. They are, in my opinion, our children and their education should be our number one infrastructure in this community. Because that is what we are built on and what will continue to build us in the future. So I'm very grateful that you listen to us. I'm very grateful for what we are able to accomplish. But I just know that we need as much as we can get. And we just, we want so much to provide a great opportunities, great education, and to increase what we have right now, because we've cut so much, we've lost so much, we want to build more. And yet we're still, the threat is still there of just losing. So I still advocate for the 1.7 million. But I do want you to know, I know that we're working together, but I still have to speak from my heart of what our community needs and what our district needs. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And we did get some good information on SRS funding. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Superintendent Burr and President Wilson. I appreciate your remarks tonight. The proposal before you tonight for the local contribution is unconventional compared to recent history of the borough. We in the past have funded the schools in part through secure rural schools, or managers before me have made the whole contribution out of secure rural schools, which drastically dwindled the fund balance of that fund. And so without the reauthorizations of secure rural schools and the existing money sitting in that fund being committed to projects such as the elevator replacement project, the debt service for the school major maintenance project, and some other projects that will be coming out in the 26 budget, that fund's essentially spoken for. We did get some news that secure rural schools today is put in the House budget in Congress. So I think that they're going to probably try to put that as a rider in legislation that has to pass. I'm hopeful that's the case, along with the Central Air Service. But the proposal before you is $600,000 from property taxes. We don't fund our school through property taxes typically. We are in a position where assessments did increase the overall property tax value in a way that helps. But we did cut the general fund over $1 million compared to what was submitted by directors. That's actually less than 2023 actual levels. It's significant. So you will see service reductions in some capacity prioritized in fashion this year, but we were able to allocate $600,000 in property taxes as a reduction in our general fund and the increase in our assessments. And then of course the other 20% comes from sales tax, and $800,000 is an approximation, but we do have sufficient reserves to cover any deficiency in our forecast for sales tax, which is close to $4 million. So 1.4 million, and then on top of that, secure rural schools, because it wasn't reauthorized for this fiscal year, and we didn't receive the nearly $800,000 we normally do to help fund the school. The USDA Department of Agriculture came out and said they will fund us 1908 payments, which is essentially a lever that activates when SRS isn't a thing, and they gave you $25,000 and said thank you very much. So we're significantly reduced in our capacity to fund the school, although I do pride our administrative team and assembly for using property tax. I do think we'll be in a better position, and I hope that's an optimistic lens that the school board can look to in future fiscal years. Now, if we establish the precedent that property taxes also fund the school and then take nominal amounts of secure rural schools, maybe we do get closer to a maximum next year. And obviously we support any measure by the state of Alaska to make it on their obligation to public education, because currently that's up for debate.